Welcome, everyone, to Shots Fired with Deanna Lorraine. I'm your host, Deanna Lorraine. Going over all the latest breaking news, trending topics, and truth bombs that you can't get anywhere else. Go ahead and follow me on social media, especially Gab, Telegram, Truth Social, and Getter at Real Deanna Lorraine and on X for all the latest and controversial posts, Deanna, for Congress. Remember, my show is twice a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time after the Stu Peters Show. And it is 8 p.m. now Eastern Time after a long and crazy week. So grab that cocktail or mocktail, glass of water, glass of wine, whatever you do to unwind. And hang out with me for the next hour as we go over the top news of the day. Hey guys, do you often feel like you've got low energy and you just really want to give your energy a boost that's sustainable all day long? Well, this awesome new product I've been taking, Energy Renew, gives you that kick you need to keep going all day long with no more midday slumps. Plus, it helps you stay on track with your weight loss goals and burn fat way more effectively. Say goodbye to brain fog. Energy Renew keeps your mind sharp and focused so that you can tackle whatever the day throws at you. And who doesn't like that youthful, beautiful glow? Energy Renew not only boosts your energy, but also helps your skin look and feel amazing. Packed with powerful nutrients like tributyrin and sun fiber, it is the ultimate energy booster. Go to DeannaEnergy.com to learn more about this amazing product and get yours today. Go to DeannaEnergy.com, that's D-E-A-N-N-A, Energy.com right now to see how this product changes your life. Hey guys, well, I'm here with my favorite doctor, Dr. Mark Sherwood here today. And guess what I just got? It is a giant box of a Kingdom Crunch cereal, his new line of cereal called Kingdom Crunch. And this particular flavor is acai bowl. And let me tell you, it is so, 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 so tasty and delicious. But besides from it being so tasty, I have Dr. Sherwood here to tell us why it's so good for you too and why it's so amazing and should be in everyone's cupboard. So what's up with this incredible cereal that you sent me that I can't stop eating, Dr. Sherwood?
Well, many times when we hear the word cereal, we think unhealthy, poisonous, yeah, chemical, carcinogenic.
Shouldn't be eating it.
That is quite the opposite. High protein, zero added sugars, organic ingredients, and healthy fats such as medium-chain triglycerides. Deanna, that should be in everyone's cupboard, in every child's mouth, every day. That is truly healthy and life-giving for kids. I recommend it all the way. Not because I made it, but because it solves a real problem in today's world.
Excuse me, I can't stop eating it, but I gave it to my son Maverick, who also loves cereal, but I don't want him to eat cereal except for this. This is really, really good. It's really tasty. It actually tastes like real acai in your mouth. And it's packed full of all these nutrients and no sugar, right? No added sugar.
Right.
That's insane. How is it so sweet then?
Yeah, we use stevia,
okay,
monk fruit, and some allulose there. All of which, get this, are diabetic friendly. They won't raise blood sugar, which is another benefit. I've had people ask me, can I eat that if I'm diabetic? Yes, you can. And you can fix your diabetes.
Yay. Awesome. Well, this is so good. Where can everybody find this Kingdom Crunch cereal?
They can find it at Sherwood.tv/shots and use your discount code to
save. Promo code shots.
Promo code shots. And they can save some money out there and support your program.
Absolutely. All right, go to Sherwood.tv, promo code SHOTS, and pick up this delicious Kingdom Crunch cereal today. All right, and now without further ado, let's get into the top news of the day. Well, Israel, let's talk about the Israel war here. Israel has just been approved that it's going to be receiving an additional American aid package worth $8.7 billion. $8.7 billion from American aid is now going to be going right into the hands of Israel. That is so mind-blowing. I mean, that on top of the billions of dollars that we've already spent aiding the fake Ukraine war with the fake penis piano playing puppet actor Zelensky, who just keeps shaking people and world leaders and America down for more and more and more and more money. Yes, somehow we owe Israel even more money and sending them more American troops to fight this BS war. It's not even really a war. It's a genocide, as we already know. So this is it's pretty striking, and it just goes to show you what this is really all about. It's pulling us into another war in World War III. And to add to that, Trump is really jumping on this PSYOP bandwagon. I didn't think that he was going to jump on it fully because he's so anti-war, or he claims to be so anti-war, and he'll never have a war started under his watch. But now here he comes jumping on the bandwagon of using Iran as the scapegoat for his assassination plot. He says this week. He tweeted, "Big threats on my life by Iran. The entire U.S. military is watching and waiting. Moves were already made by Iran that didn't work out, but they will try again. Not a good situation for anyone. I am surrounded by more men, guns, and weapons than I've ever seen before. Thank you to Congress for unanimously approving far more money to Secret Service. Zero no votes, strictly bipartisan. Nice to see Republicans and Democrats get together on something. An attack on a former president is a death wish for the attacker." So the fact that he says moves were already made by Iran that didn't work out, they'll try again. Not a good situation for anyone. And the military is watching and waiting. So doesn't he know that this is just fake and gay? This whole Iran plot, scapegoat is kind of just like Russia again. Do you really think Iran is behind these attempted assassinations and this whole plot? No, but we knew that Iran was going to be blamed for it so that he could be fueled into and motivated and pulled into another world war. And everybody will then back him and support him in doing so. Even Trump supporters, and especially Trump supporters, who are typically pro-peace and against going into useless, expensive wars. And now, because they love him so much and he could do no wrong, and everything Trump does is 50D chess, trust the plan, now they're probably going to trust him and say, well, if Trump says he wants to go to war, and if Trump wants to retaliate against Iran for almost taking his life, and we love Trump so much, then hey, maybe we should be all for it too. So this is really sad that he's fully engaging with this, entertaining with this, and playing along with this false flag PSYOP operation of blaming Iran to pull us into World War III. And of course, just ally with Israel. Once again, Israel is the victim. And now Trump is the victim too. Unbelievable. All right, next up on our top news of the day is the topic of fluoride. So a court ruling just had a large, actually huge, momentous win. And it stated that they found that the fluoride in water, our water systems, actually is toxic and dangerous, especially to children. And it leads to lower IQ in children. Whoa. I mean, we've known this for a long time, but the fact that they're actually admitting it is pretty breaking news. That's unbelievable. So check out this. So huge win. Judge Edward Chen issued a ruling concluding that the current U.S. water fluoridation levels pose an unreasonable risk of lowering children's IQs. This could be the beginning of the end for harmful water fluoridation in the United States. A federal court in California ruled late Tuesday against the Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, ordering officials to take actions over concerns about potential health risks from currently recommended levels of fluoride in the American drinking water supply. The ruling by District Court Judge Edward Chen, an appointee of former President Barack Obama, interestingly enough, deals a blow to public health groups in the growing debate about whether the benefits of continuing to add fluoride to the water supply outweighs the risks, which they found in all, there's a substantial and scientifically credible evidence establishing that fluoride poses a risk to human health. It is associated with a reduction in the IQ of children and is hazardous at dosages that are far too close to fluoride levels in the drinking water of the United States, the judge wrote in this ruling. Judge's ruling cites a review of the National Institutes of Health's toxicology program finalized last month, which concluded that higher levels of fluoride is now linked to lowered IQ in children. Unbelievable. Lowered IQ in children. So it brings me to ask the question. I mean, look, you got to think, even though we've known this for a very long time, that fluoride is horribly harmful to people and to children, and it lowers our IQ. It calcifies the pineal gland. The fact that the mainstream media and judges are finally announcing this publicly, and it's becoming possibly mainstream knowledge and waking people up, that's really big. And what else is it going to lead to? What else have they been telling us for decades that something is beneficial to us when really it's poison to us? How about childhood vaccines? The 82 CDC mandated childhood vaccines that were shoving into children's tiny little bodies from the moment they're born. Maybe then they'll start announcing that childhood vaccines are actually death to children. I don't know, when one could hope. But check this out. This is a video from a while ago that talks about how they started sneaking fluoride into our water supply and what was the plan for it.
When they're selling water fluoridation, they didn't just walk out and say it's good for you. They actually hired Edward Bernays, Sigmund Freud's nephew, to sell Americans on how good it was to have silicon fluoride in the water.
Edward Bernays was the one that created how to control the population through media and through advertising.
Edward Bernays, also known as the father of spin, pioneered the idea of crowd psychology. In 1928, he wrote a book called Propaganda, in which he wrote, "If we understand the mechanism and motives of the group mind, is it not possible to control and regiment the masses according to our will without their knowing it?" He called it the engineering of consent. Bernays introduced the corporate giants to crowd psychology methods and polished techniques to manipulate society. He convinced the population to buy on impulse things they didn't even need. In his writings, he concluded that individuals were controlled by four basic motivations: self-preservation, aggression, security, and sex. Bernays' belief was that by appealing to any of these four motives, it was possible to manipulate the majority of a population into doing almost anything. You could brainwash them into smoking cigarettes, starting war, electing politicians, you name it. And given the proven effectiveness of these techniques, it was no coincidence that the Aluminum Company of America asked Bernays to head the campaign for the fluoridation of the United States water supply.
People like Bernays, you know, were masters of social engineering. His entire thesis, if you will, is that you don't talk to the public in a rational, scientific way. Instead, you appeal to their emotions and you invoke their fears. He was key in getting women to start smoking. He positioned cigarettes as being sexy and individualistic and, you know, power to the woman. That was the framing of why women should start smoking.
A consumerist culture was born, and the United States government took notice. U.S. agencies soon adopted Bernays' techniques of manipulation to manufacture the fear of ever-present danger in the minds of the people, to give those in power greater control of what Bernays called the mass mind. He went on to propose in his book Propaganda.
Well, in other news, the United Nations met this week. The United Nations and all of the elites that orchestrate everything that we do, they are, of course, meeting this week to push forward and create their pact for the future, the pact for human future. They're all going to be creating a pact for our future, our human future. And what is that going to be entailing? It's all about pushing Agenda 2030 forward as quick as possible, accelerating Agenda 2030 and the New World Order. Of course, we don't get a vote in it. We humans don't get a vote. We don't get a say in it. And it's this shadow government and group of elites that are deciding and creating this pact on our future without us having any kind of a vote. So here are some clips from this Pact of the Future. And by the way, not only did the United Nations meet this week in NYC, but also the Clinton Global Initiative met this week, the World Economic Forum, and the Club of Rome, the other shadowy group of Illuminati elites that control everything that we do and that are truly behind orchestrating all of the events in our world. The Club of Rome. So the Club of Rome, Clinton Global Initiative, the World Economic Forum, and the United Nations all meeting this week to decide our future. Check this out.
The motion is adopted.
Nous avons ouvert la porte. Il nous incombe désormais à toutes et à tous de la franchir, car il ne s'agit pas seulement de s'entendre, mais aussi d'agir. Et aujourd'hui, je vous mets au défi de passer à l'action.
And reporter Alex Newman from the Liberty Sentinel was on the ground this week in NYC covering this, and here's what he had to say.
So here at the UN Summit of the Future during the UN General Assembly, and there has been a very hostile reception to journalists. You need minders if you want to go anywhere. You're not allowed to talk to anybody. We had two CHICOMs, Communist Chinese, escorting us around. And it's very, very bizarre. It's unlike other UN conferences I've gone to where you have a lot of freedom, where you want to go, who you want to talk to. Here, journalists are kind of quarantined. I call it the cheerleading section. They're kind of quarantined in one little area, and unless you have a minder and special permission or a government to escort you around, you're really not allowed in a whole lot of areas. You're not even allowed to access some of the side events and stuff, except up in the nosebleed seats where you can't ask any questions or do any actual journalism. It's very bizarre. We will keep you updated with more as we get it.
Now, this is hilarious. I can't believe they aired this, but this clip is going viral today. It's a little boy that was asked in a CNN news clip what he thinks of when he hears the word Kamala, or when someone says Kamala Harris, what do you think of? And this little boy was right on the money. He said, liar. Can you believe it? He said the word liar, and this clip has gone viral. Somehow they aired this. Check this out if you missed it.
What's the first word that pops into your head when you hear the name Kamala Harris?
Liar.
And now this is pretty crazy, too. You know, it always gets deeper and somehow it always relates back to porn and child porn. But the son of alleged Trump assassination plotter, Ryan Routh. So his son, Orrin Routh, who was arrested in connection with an alleged second assassination attempt on former President Trump, has now been taken into federal custody on child pornography charges. Can you believe this? He was arrested on child pornography charges. This dude, and he looks like a tranny again, but he is being arrested on child pornography charges. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Always the same, like clockwork. And lastly, the other big story of the week is, of course, Alex Jones and InfoWars having to be sold off or auctioned off by November in order to pay off the $1 billion that Alex Jones was ordered to pay the Sandy Hook victims. Yes, somehow that makes up for the death of their children. $1 billion he's being forced to pay. And supposedly they're having to sell or auction off InfoWars piece by piece in order to satisfy these greedy people from Sandy Hook who swear it's not about money. It's not about money. It's really sad because, you know, I know Alex Jones. I worked for InfoWars. I had a show hosting a show on InfoWars before I came over to this dude Peter's network. So I worked there for a while. I know all the people. I live in Austin, Texas. Some of them are still friends of mine. I know them personally. And he has worked. I mean, you can say whatever your thoughts are about Alex Jones. He has worked for decades, over 30 years, to build this empire, this incredible news network that has woke so many people up all over the world and red-pilled so many people and delivered the news that no other mainstream media outlet will carry. I mean, he's kind of the OG truth bomber.
I've been on air for 30 plus years. I started InfoWars 28 years ago. We've been in this building almost 16 years. And in the last 6 years, we've had the feds, the FBI, the CIA, it's all come out in court, run giant demonization operations against myself, my operation, and my crew.
InfoWars just lost their war on info.
Lawfare, rigged courts, judges finding me guilty, then holding show trials, all in an attempt to not just shut us down, but to demonize the idea of an American populist movement of information and peaceful resistance to their globalist agenda 21 and global agenda 2030. Literal world government, total censorship, internet of things, carbon taxes, social credit score, forced injections, a dystopia. The WEF says officially the future is not human. No humans by 2047 will all be cyborgs. You'll own nothing. You'll like it. You'll eat the bugs. This is hell on earth. We are promoting freedom and liberty and transparency and security and in God and country. So many of you have seen the news everywhere. InfoWars is shut down to be sold November 13th at auction. It's over. It's shut down. No, ladies and gentlemen, I personally liquidated my assets. I own InfoWars. And so the feds, the Justice Department, can get involved in bankruptcies. They did. They came in, tried to find dirt on me, had private groups come in, accounting firms, made us pay for it, found that I told the truth about everything. So then they told the judge last week, we don't want it to go up for sale. We want it just shut down. We want it closed. And the Sandy Hook Democrat Party, you always hear the families, it's not families, it's the Democratic Party and the FBI on record. They said, we don't want money. We don't want a settlement. We want him shut down. They've said it in the news. They've said it at the courthouse. It's crazy. So now I see the headline, InfoWars be liquidated to pay the families. They're $1.5 billion or whatever. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the deep state. It is the system. It is the lawfare. It's out in the open. So just to be clear, the U.S. trustee that the judge fired a few months ago tried to shut us down outside of court order. The judge stopped that. Then a state court tried to liquidate us a few months ago and close the doors and padlock it. The same judge that ran the kangaroo court against me in the Sandy Hook trial here in Texas. The judge overrode that. And they basically said the only way now is for you to liquidate your assets, Chapter 7, and sell it to somebody else. So if patriots buy it, there's a lot of folks saying they are, and that they're the top bidder, then if I like the folks and they don't curtail my free speech, I will work for somebody else. That's how you do it when you have giant judgments anyways. So there's a good chance good people are going to buy it if the auction's open, free, and fair on November 13th. But regardless, I'm going to continue on the air one way or another, unless the globalists start World War III and trigger the internet kill switch and bring in their total censorship, which Hillary Clinton's calling for arresting Trump supporters for their, quote, speech.
And he works really, really, really hard. I mean, he puts his blood, sweat, and tears into InfoWars. And he has sleepless nights constantly. I don't even know if he gets any sleep, truly. But this is a man who truly cares about delivering the truth, I believe. And so, and gosh, I mean, he employs at least 100 people. There are so many people that work for InfoWars. So all of these good American patriots are now, what, going to be out of a job? Not going to be able to support their families? He employs so many people, and they work really, 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 really hard. And they have worked very hard to build up this empire amongst so many threats and cancellations. No matter how hard they have tried to cancel them and shut them down, they've still been standing. So then to have to just sell it to these people from Sandy Hook, $1 billion to somehow satisfy them is just reprehensible. I mean, it's an atrocity. And we know that it's not about money, although kind of is actually. They want money, but they also just want to shut it down. They want to shut him down. They want to make sure that InfoWars is off the air, and they'll do it however they can. And then maybe somebody new will buy it, and it will be somebody who basically has bought Fox News, or it will go the way of so many other networks that we've seen that started off conservative or telling the truth and then have just gone completely leftist or neutral because it's bought by the same deep state people, the same feds. So that's a real possibility, too. You know, maybe InfoWars will still be there, but it will change the direction of it. And slowly but surely, people will follow it and buy into it. And it will be just like Fox News, just like you know, CNN or anything else. So, yeah, it's really sad. This is a travesty, what's happening. And of course, anybody, they want to make sure anybody who speaks out about false flags, about things that don't add up, discrepancies, when we see psyops or false flags or shooting or events, that they are silenced too, that they will be sued for $1 billion, that they won't be able to speak up. It puts fear in the hearts of reporters, journalists, and just really the average American citizen who sees something isn't right, but now is no longer able to say it because they don't want to go the direction of Alex Jones. And of course, who could forget this little nugget of information, this video of Robbie Parker, one of the fathers of a slain kindergartner over at Sandy Hook, who just hours after his daughter was supposedly killed in the shooting, he's showered, he's got a suit on, he's strolling over to this press conference and somehow able to give a speech on national TV. But as he's walking up to give his speech, he is seen laughing, smiling and joking kind of almost. And he looks like he's getting into character. It's like he's getting into character, almost like an actor. Yeah, it's a pretty bizarre. I'm not insinuating anything here, but it's kind of a strange way to act if you're a parent who just hours ago lost your small child. Am I right? Am I right? I don't know. This is just one of so many pieces of information surrounding Sandy Hook that are just odd. I'll leave it at that. Check this clip out as a refresher if you haven't already, or if you need a little bit of a refresher.
Statement looks like the family is there and they're getting ready to make to come to the microphone. So we'll listen in.
Okay. My name's Robbie Parker.
And also, what about this very strange press conference given by the medical examiner at Sandy Hook, who had just supposedly finished taking care of all of the bodies, over 20 bodies of children who were slain and shot. And he gives this press conference to the public, and he just looks so visibly uncomfortable. He looks like he's sweating. He looks kind of like he's lying. I don't know. But it was the weirdest press conference from a medical examiner after a tragic shooting or killing of any kind or any event that I've ever seen. So if you missed that, check this out as well.
I have if you can control the situation depending on your photographer, and I have very good photographers, no, I don't.
How young?
Sorry, I don't.
How young was the youngest victim?
Sorry, I don't.
How young was the
youngest victim? And I believe everybody except the assailant and his mother will be finished tonight. And I'll do those tomorrow morning. Anything else on there?
No, sir.
No. A lot of our there. They're up all on the second floor, and I didn't get there today.
Sure.
And it's my sensibilities may not be the average man. It's a good thing there's not being prosecution, because then I couldn't answer that. But all the ones that I know of at this point were caused by the long weapon.
So the rifle was the primary weapon.
Yes.
And what caliber were the bullets?
Question was, what caliber were these bullets? And I probably know more about firearms than most pathologists, but if I say it in court, they yell at me and don't make me answer, so. I'll let the police deal with that for you, the injuries.
But you said it was the long rifle that was used?
Yes.
And guys, we apologize, but we're having a little bit of a shortened show today because of Hurricane Helene over in Florida is just ravaging through everything over there on that coast. And we want to make sure that we have enough time for our show and it doesn't get canceled by this hurricane. So it is going to be a little bit of a shorter show today. Our apologies. So we will stay tuned and follow that story. And guys, we'll be right back right after these brief messages. Don't go anywhere. Hey guys. Well, you all know how much I love dogs and especially how much I love my beautiful princess, but very picky pug, Layla. And you know how much I want to just take care of her and have her living her best and most fulfilling, healthiest life. Well, I discovered Nature's Blend Essential Wellness for Dogs. This is the advanced all-natural solution for your dog's health, and she loves it. She's very picky, but somehow she loves this one. Their freeze-dried formula provides maximum nutritional content in every meal for your furry friend. And it's also so easy to prepare. You just add water and watch as your dog enjoys a nutritious feast in minutes. It's crafted by renowned veteran Dr. Marty. Nature's Blend combines premium quality raw meat with hand-selected fruits and veggies. Thousands of happy dog parents give their dogs the gift of vitality while their dogs' tails are wagging. Trying Nature's Blend, by the way, is risk-free with their 100% money-back guarantee. That's right. They have a 100% money-back guarantee. So I want you, if you love your furry friend, check these people out. It's an incredible company. Go to DeannaLovesDogs.com for more info and get your dog's tail wagging. Again, that's DeannaLovesDogs.com, D-E-A-N-N-A, LovesDogs.com, and let me know how it works out. Give your dog the gift of vitality. Why is Kingdom Fuel so much better than a lot of other supplements and, nutritional supplements out there? Because this is a really, really good shake. My favorite, by the way, is the vanilla, but I've got the vanilla and the chocolate.
Well, Kingdom Fuel is not just a protein shake. It has organic pea protein, full spectrum, full amino acid profile, 20 grams of protein, but it's also got added to it greens and reds. A lot of people buy those separately. It's got vitamins and minerals and soluble and insoluble fiber. That is a complete meal, and it's under $5 per serving. If people use 3 scoops,
yeah.
But guess what? Most people don't. They use 1 or 2. So you're talking about a full, complete meal, and the shelf life is 2 years.
Ooh.
If you don't open it. Pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And if we're in any kind of apocalypse, you can pretty much eat this all day.
You can.
And the cereal. And be really, really healthy. All right, cool. And guys, you can find the Kingdom Fuel line of products at Dr. Sherwood's website, of course, sherwood.tv. And use promo code SHOTS to get 30% off. Again, that's promo code SHOTS to get 30% off. I love this shake. It's amazing, great, and keeps me healthy. Welcome back to Shots Fired. Well, I am wearing this shirt today and this hat because I wanted to talk today about a little thing that's really a very big thing today called hope. A little bit of a change of pace, but in this world that we've been living in, it's so crazy, and not a lot of people are going to church as much as they used to. God has been removed from schools all across the nation. Talk about God or the Ten Commandments or hope and faith has really been stripped from our culture, from our institutions, from our family talk, from our talk around the table conversations. And we're living in some pretty depressing times. Every day we hear something new that's tragic on the news, or imminent wars and threats to humanity. So we're living in times that are just a lot scarier and feel a lot more bleak than, say, in the 1950s, when everyone kind of left it to Beaver and everything was a lot more wholesome. The divorce rate is sky high. Children who are growing up in broken families. And it's made me think about hope and how a lot of people, I know myself sometimes, I am a woman of faith, but I could lose that faith sometimes. And sometimes hard things really happen to me. And I feel like it's hard to find that hope and that faith that God is going to come through. Where do people get that hope and faith when times feel really bleak and hard and depressing? So I wanted to bring on, of course, our resident doctor, Dr. Mark Sherwood, who we've talked about this a lot, but you know that aside from him being an outstanding naturopathic doctor, he is truly a strong man of faith. And I love that about him. And it has us really aligned with our values and not just the products that he sells, but his values, his faith. And if you've read any of his books, which I love, they're always peppered and they always have a lot of scripture involved. They always have a lot of Christian wisdom in there. And his consulting, everything that he does has God in the center of it. So I wanted to talk to him about this topic today because I think it's a relevant one for all of us. Dr. Mark Sherwood, always great to have you on. How's it going today?
Going great. I appreciate you having me. And like you, I echo your sentiments. This subject called hope is something that's lacking in our world today. And we really need a fresh dose of this, you know, not just today, but every day.
Yes. And let's just, everyone can see your shirt too. Are you wearing your hope shirt?
I got my hope on, man. I've got my hope shirt on and I've got my hope dealer wristband. So there you go.
Awesome. We don't need another drug dealer in this world. We need a hope dealer.
Yeah. No more dope dealers. We need some hope dealers, man.
So you and your wife, Michelle, you guys call yourselves the hope dealers. Yeah. And I'd love to hear first, let's start with that. Why do you guys refer to yourselves as the hope dealers?
Well, we kind of coined that term,
you
know, 10, 15 years ago, I guess. We were just talking about people that come to us that we get the opportunity to really speak with, work with, help. And most of them came to us with this idea of not having hope. They had tried this or tried that, and had reached an epitome of frustration, not just in their health, but in their life. And so we were just kind of talking about this one day, and we talked about the word hope. And then we thought, you know what? We need to begin to become hope dealers and give that out freely to people. And when we did, it just like snapped. I mean, the whole attention of that moment just snapped to attention. And it was like, there it is. And that was one of the things that really stuck with us. And so we kind of coined that term and branded it, you know, and kind of made it part of our theme. And then when we talk to people, in other words, just this is a great example. People come to the doctor and they want to know what's wrong. You know, can you tell me what's wrong with me? We always are spending, even in politics today, we spend time talking about what's wrong. Indiana, that doesn't give people hope. I mean, in a relationship, I mean, can you imagine if you know, you get two people there, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, and you say, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, I want you guys to commit one day a week just to talk about what's wrong with each other. That's not going to work very well. When you focus on what's wrong, you lose completely attention to what's right. And Deanna, there's so much more right about our country. There's so much more right about our lives. There's so much more right about our bodies and our health than we give credit to. And because of that, we decided to not let people come in and start off with wrong, but to show them what's right. And it shifted the whole conversation. It shifted our whole mentality and our whole practice. And it created an environment of trustworthiness that is filled with the air of hope. And that air of hope gives people a confidence to maybe have an expectation that they can have a better day or a better outcome on the other side.
That's amazing. I love that. And it's very true too, but a lot of people forget it. When you focus on what's wrong, like a magnifying glass, and it's going to expand. And when you focus on what's right, that expands too, right?
It does. And just to add to that dynamic, even with the word diet, you know, diets today are focused on what you shouldn't do. You need to avoid this. You need to avoid that. We don't do that. I don't allow people to go on a diet.
Interesting.
I can't stand that term. What we give them is a list of foods that they can eat. And we tell them this, you can have as much as you want. You want more? Eat more. We don't care. If you're hungry, eat. If you're not, don't. And there's freedom in that. So instead of focusing on the deprivation, we focus on abundance, which hope focuses on abundance. Yes. Hopelessness focuses on what you can't have or what you're going to be without. And so, you know, we need to shift our thinking as a nation and as people regarding all areas, physical, emotional, intellectual, spiritual, into this hope realm, because in the hope realm, Deanna, you find answers. You find miraculous supernatural answers. Even in thinking about, you know, some of our forefathers of faith, you know, Moses, and here's a guy named Caleb. Well, Moses had all kinds of obstacles. He had the Red Sea there, for Pete's sake, you know, big army coming behind him. Well, guess what? His hope was what drove, if you will, that Red Sea to part, right? His hope in God. And I'm reminded of Isaiah 41, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They'll mount up as wings as eagles. They'll run and not get weary. They'll walk and not faint. That's to me, man, I want that kind of energy.
Yeah.
And that's what hope can do for a person's soul and psyche.
Amazing. And I agree with you. Now, what do you say to somebody who's feeling very hopeless? And let's say they've just been kind of chronically stuck in this hopeless cycle. They have been having financial crisis for a long time and can't seem to break out of it. Or they've been single for a long time and can't find the relationship of their dreams. Or this kind of string of bad luck happens, and it seems like one bad thing happens after another with them, and they feel hopeless. They don't see where there could be hope. They don't see a light at the end of the tunnel, and they feel hopeless. I mean, how do you maybe start with getting somebody to start feeling hopeless and getting out of that cycle, that out of that just negative daily mindset?
Well, number one, I think we have to allow them the freedom and acknowledge that they're valuing the system they feel, or the emotions they feel, are real, right? You can't just say, oh, I'll get over it, because that's just like ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I validate them and say, you know what? I hear you. You probably have every reason to feel pissed off, you know, every reason to feel hopeless. And I give them that platform. And then I say, okay, well, let's focus on what maybe you can change. Because you can't change that if you're single. You can't just snap your fingers and make a man or a woman appear. You know, you can't snap your fingers and make a tree come up that's going to grow money. But what can you change? And we start focusing and chipping one thing at a time and give them little successes. You know, because if you can begin to think about this, if you have a series of failures, you're going to expect failure, which makes your hope be failure. But if you have a series of successes that are so small that eventually you have an expectation that maybe it can be better, well, so you can see your hope tank is being filled up. And, you know, everybody's different. You got to find out what drives people. You know, I talk to people all the time in their health, and, you know, whether it be, you know, all those areas you mentioned, but I try to get them moving in a right direction. You know, it's like, so hopelessness is like sitting on the side of the road and being such in a place that you can't see the car coming by to trying to give you a ride. And that's, it really is that real. And we have to begin to open their eyes. You mentioned the light at the end of the tunnel analogy. Sometimes people are turned the wrong way. They're facing the opposite direction. You turn around and the light might be far off, but it's there. I even think of Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Well, the shadow of death is just a reflection of that. It's not the death, but the shadow. You can walk through shadows.
Right.
The shadow doesn't hurt you, but it's the fear of that that does. So if we can get people moving through that stuff to walk right through it, they'll quickly realize that a crisis or a problem is an opportunity for a victory and a solution. And I really believe that in my own life, because I've had all kinds of crappy things happen. But it's like you got to keep on fighting another day and get up again, you know?
Definitely. Now, what do you say to people who, you know, are Christ-focused and you know, do have a strong faith in God, but they get to a point of hopelessness where they start feeling mistrustful of God, or angry with God even, because they're still not reaching their goals or their dreams, or they're still, you know, bad things still continue to happen to them or something. And they're starting to feel like, well, maybe God's abandoned me. Maybe he's not there for me. Maybe he's there for other people, but just not me. And they get, you know, I know some people that have either become atheists, or they they get angry with God. So how, you know, what would you say to those people?
Well, I think that I'll answer that in three ways. Number one, atheism is an anger at God. There's no question.
Anger
about
of
that.
God. Yeah. That's...
And so an atheist is not an atheist at all. They just are mad at God. And so they might call themselves atheists because it gives them a sense of identity. So I think you can't be mad at something you don't think exists. So just ponder on that a bit.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Number two, you know, the hopelessness or the anger that people feel is a real deal. And I'm reminded of Jesus who said to his own father, "Why have you forsaken me?"
Mm-hmm.
And so that gives people permission to sort of question, you know, we need to have the freedom. And number three, it might sound sacrilegious, but I tell people to have a yell at God if they want to. Just absolutely just let it out, man. If you feel like you need to just scream at him, go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
I figure he's heard that before a time or two, you know, and I think that having that freedom to express self is probably good because we don't need to have this fear of a guy who's got a big old stick that just want to whop you on the head to teach you what's wrong. Mm-hmm. No, he's not. He's a God that made the world and everything in it. And this is a neat concept here, Deanna, that the world is really the same world that God made.
Mm-hmm.
All of the abundance is here to make mankind thrive, not just survive. Now, in that world, we've got confusion because we have all of us are one step away from doing something stupid, you know, and so it's there. But yet we have to begin to think like that and give God the opportunity to show himself, explain himself, reveal himself, and really wrap his arms around us as need be in a way that we understand.
Yeah, amen. And do you think those people that are feeling hopeless or angry at God, is there something that they could or should change within their attitude or their mindset on a day-to-day basis that, you know, could allow hope to come through for them more so, or to allow, you know, faith to work for them? If you know what I'm saying?
I do. And yes, there is a lot of things they can do. I think the chief thing they can do is stop talking about God and talk to him. You know, because like, you know, if you're pissed off at somebody, what's the best way to bring resolve? You go to the person, man.
Yeah.
Because you talk behind somebody's back and all it does is build negative momentum. You know, and I both know. Both of us have been talked about behind our back.
Right.
And it don't feel good.
No, it's the worst.
But it's like when somebody comes to you and says, you know what, here's the thing I've got that I don't understand, or maybe I've got against you, or maybe I need to understand more. It brings healing there.
Right.
And it's good. And I think that God can handle that. So I always tell people, quit talking about God like a gossip chamber and talk to him, because that's the way I want to be treated. And that's the way that person that I talk to wants to be treated as well. Because I flip it around and I say, all right, so you're pissed at God. Right. Okay, so what if I was pissed at you? Would you want me to talk about you behind your back to other people? Or would you want me to come to you? Deanna, 100% have said, I want you to come to me.
Right.
And I'm like, exactly. Because if you care about something enough, you know, you're going to go to them. And the reason people are mad is because they have a high expectation of God. So it's not a negative, it's a perception, you know?
Exactly. And they feel like maybe God's disappointing them or something. Yep. And they get locked in this negative mindset. And then, you know, good things typically don't happen to you when you're stuck in negative energy, stuck in feeling everything's failing for me. That's kind of just going to repel anything good that can happen to you. I mean, it's just going to continue to attract negative things and events to you. And it's hard for people to get out of that.
Yeah. And you know, got in today's world, you got media, both social media and mainstream media, in various ways that are promoting tendencies of negative connotation information, right? Mm-hmm. Whether true or not, it's all got this slant on it, like crisis mode, you know, it's almost like a fear mode thing. Well, that can really set up tomorrow for a lot of fear of an unknown, you know? Mm-hmm. And I said it like this, you know, this is very true. None of us have a promise of tomorrow. And we don't. We can sit there and say, okay, we're doing a broadcast here. That's cool. I'm on Shots Fired. Can't wait to see you next week. We're in some hope gear, whatever. But I've got no guarantee of that. I can hope for that, but I've got no guarantee. So I always tell people routinely to focus on today with this sort of, you know, descriptor. Yesterday is history. Can't go back and fix that. I wish I could. I can learn from it. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow is a mystery. Yeah. Can't guarantee it's going to be here. But today is a gift. That's why it's called the present. So do your best today to make your life and somebody else's better. And you know what I've learned? The best thing you can do when you're in a bad place is get out of your own way and go do something nice for somebody else. Just call them, text them, send them a card, do something, send them an email. Just do something nice for somebody else as a way of encouragement. And for whatever reason, that sort of rebounds back to you, doesn't it?
I can see that. Yeah, definitely.
Build up again. Yeah.
People just need to get out of their own way and realize, you know, the answer is out there, interacting with other people, helping with other people. Stop focusing on your own problems.
Yeah, I've watched many people in my life, you know, that have inward anger. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, even on the SWAT team time, you know, unfortunately, I've seen people turn inward anger to outward homicide or outward suicide, you know, and it doesn't have to be that way. But I've also talked to people in situations like that and talked them out of it. And the key point is, when you're in that hopeless, dark place, the only way to get out of that hopeless, dark place is look a different direction, you know, because if you're looking down a hole, man, I guarantee you're going to see dark hole. But that's where you got to kind of just shift your focus a little bit. And then once you start seeing that glimmer of hope, man, it tends to be infectious.
Amen. Well, thank you for those inspiring words of wisdom and hope. And tell everybody again, of course, where they can find you and follow you and where we get these t-shirts from.
Well, we've got plenty online and in our clinic that we're happy to get to people. We want people to become hope dealers. We've got wristbands, hats. We've got some hoodies too. When the weather gets cooler, we're getting there. Yeah. But people can reach out to us at sherwood.tv/shots. And we really want to be a blessing to the audience here, you know, in the Shots Fired Nation, as I like to say.
Whoa.
It's important, you know, and we want people to become hopeful. And if we can be a small part of that, we're grateful.
Amazing. Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Sherwood, always for bringing hope to me and everybody else. We really appreciate you.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Go to sherwood.tv/shots to learn more. Guys, we'll be right back right after these messages. Don't go anywhere and stay hopeful. We'll be right back.
Second thing we can do is drink water. I mean, you hear me talk about hydrogen water all the time with our little bottles.
Yes.
We have to have water to live. Our bodies are 65% water, just like the earth is. Go figure.
Right.
Wow. Does that not give you chills right there to think about?
Totally.
That?
Yeah.
When we drink that water, if we can bring hydrogen in there, it can reduce inflammation. It can reduce free radicals and it can be calm and peace to the cells. So I don't know how better we can get than those two tips. And we need that more today. Dan, if we're stuck and just locked into what's next in the news, it's going to lock us in all right. It's like locking into a self-imposed prison.
100%. And you have an incredible water hydration device as well that we can talk about real quick. I know that you probably have it on your desk right now.
I drink this every day. This is, you know, forgive me for sounding like an infomercial, but this is the truth, man.
Yeah.
It's on my desk, you know, even before we came alive. I put water in here about 5 minutes ago, pushed the button, and this little chamber that's via electrolysis creates hydrogen in here. And I'll push the button one more time so people can see that. Really cool.
So cool.
You can see it. It puts little bubbles in there. Really neat like that. And when I'll turn it off and show you when I pull the lid off, you can hear a little pressure, and I just drink the water.
Yeah, you don't want to be just drinking tap water. I mean, you want to be, not all water is created equal, right? I mean, of course, we want to be hydrating with lots and lots of water as one of your tips, but not all water is necessarily created equal.
No, get your water filtered. You know, reverse osmosis is my favorite. There's a lot of little portable filters. One can do the from a hardware store to put on your fountain and already on your pitchers in your house. You can get an indoor filter system, works pretty good. We have one, or you can buy filtered water too. Mm-hmm. But the cool thing about this is when I drink this, it reduces not just the inflammation and the free radicals, but it can make my cells respond in a younger manner. Cheers to being younger, older, I guess, I suppose. Yeah. But it's really important to really, you got yours too. It's important to do the right things that are simple.
Yeah, I'm
a big believer in the KISS principle, keep it simple, silly, you know?
Yes.
And what we talked about is learning to redefine stress, understand the addiction of stress, getting outside, getting away from it all, and then filling your body with the water, which is life.
All righty, guys, that's all the time we've got for today. Thank you so much for watching Shots Fired. Remember, twice a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern time after the Sue Peters Show. And in the meantime, follow us on social media, especially Gab, Telegram, Truth Social, and Getter at Real Deanna Lorraine, and on X for all the latest and controversial posts, Deanna for Congress. And special shout out to my chat room. Thanks for always lighting it up on fire. We love you. And guys, definitely, if you want to support my show, Shots Fired, go to my sponsors below. They're the most base and patriotic companies in all of America and very loyal. So go ahead and get any product you want from those sponsors below and show your support. All right. That's it, guys. We love you. Have a great weekend. And Layla and I say God bless you and God bless America and stay hopeful. All right. We'll see you next week. Bye.